Good evening. Today is June 7th. It's Wednesday, June 7th, 2023. It is now 7:05 p.m. and I am on here to tell you how bad I suck. Some of you probably already know that. Some of you are maybe just finding out, but oh my God, I suck fucking ass. I suck fucking ass. I am the worst stroke survivor in the history of the planet. Oh my God. Okay, so here's what happened. So, I don't want to say exactly who the person is, but I kind of have to for this to make sense. Okay, so I, in my last podcast, was talking about how I had just mailed my husband's ashes to his niece. And that's correct. After I did that, I got in touch with her and let her know when they would be expected to be delivered. Because, of course, you want to keep track of where your fucking ashes are of your loved one, right? You don't want to let them out of your sight, but you have to ship them via USPS in the United States. You have to use the Postal Service, and you have to use their special box that has the word cremated remains on every side. I mean, it's like, why don't you just have flashing lights and sirens? It's crazy. And you have to pay for Priority Express overnight. It was $137. Yeah. So not at all cheap. But you get a tracking number and all kinds of shit. So anyway, whatever. You want to make sure they get there. Right? So I texted his niece. I texted his niece and let her know that I had mailed them and when they'd be there. And she said, great, I'll be home. Because I also mailed a huge box that cost me another $130-something. Together it was like $298 or something. I don't remember the exact amount. It was nearly $300 to mail these two boxes. But it had the family Bible and pictures of family. A lot of family keepsakes and mementos that I wanted Bruce's family to have. Very important to me. So anyway, so she said she'd be there both days. Well, the ashes weren't expected to be delivered until Sunday. I paid extra to make sure they would get there Sunday. And it turns out they tried to deliver them on Friday. Well, Friday was the day the other keepsakes were supposed to be there. I don't know if they've been delivered yet or not. I don't know. I didn't even ask about it, and I'll tell you why. Anyway, for some reason, on Friday, I decided to check Friday evening to see if they'd been delivered. The keepsakes had been delivered. And I typed in the first number on my receipt, which is for cremated remains, and got an indication that they had attempted delivery, but that nobody was home, because I also requested a signature, of course, for those. And they told the Postal Service told me they wouldn't just leave them, that someone would have to sign for them. They wouldn't just leave them at the door. Obviously, you know, porch, what are they called? Porch pirates? People come and steal boxes from your porch, and you would never want that to happen to your ashes. Anyway, so they told me that if somebody wasn't there, they could call to have them redelivered or whatever. Okay, I can't go into that because I'm too distracted. So anyway, I've been very emotional today, and I'm about to tell you why. I got a hold of his niece. I just texted her and said, hey, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know what I said, but I just said, it looks like they tried to deliver his ashes today, but nobody was home. So here's the tracking number, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Then she sent me back a very strange text, and it didn't make any sense. I think it was, I want, ask, okay. I'm like, what the fuck? So I responded with a question mark, and then she called me. She sounded very strange. Very, very odd. Not drunk. Her speech wasn't exactly slurred, but it was very halting. Do you know what I mean? Like she couldn't find the words. She would say, I, and then she couldn't find the words, and then she'd say, sorry. Then she'd start again and try to say it. And I just listened and was very patient. And I said, are you okay? Yes, I will be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And she repeated it a couple times because she had to keep starting and stopping. Then I said, do you need help? She said, no. And I'm like, the fuck, she doesn't. I thought it was a stroke, because that's what it sounded like to me. I've never known her to drink, ever. She's been to Vegas several times, and we've been to dinner with her, and I don't remember her ever drinking any alcohol. But you never know. Also, I don't know her that well. You know, I'm just her uncle's wife, and I don't know her that well. I don't know her well enough to stick my big fucking nose into her business. Okay, so I didn't know if maybe she had taken something. You know, and I'm not about to cause some trouble for somebody. I didn't want to do that. Oh my God, you guys, I'm a big fucking failure. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm going to tell you why. You already know, don't you? You already know. So, anyway, I was worried, so I tried to call her sister who lives next door or one or two houses away or something. I tried to call her sister. It went straight to voicemail, and I thought, okay, that's my sign to leave it the fuck alone. Okay? And here's why. Let me back up. Like, okay, so my husband, angel of my life, the most amazing human being, just a beautiful person. He was such a beautiful person. He was amazing. He would never, ever... God, I'm so sorry. He would never complain or even admit that anything was wrong. It used to drive me crazy because, you know, like he would eat food that looked like shit. They'd deliver, you know, we'd be at a restaurant. They'd bring him his food and it wouldn't look good. I was so proud of him and I'll never forget it. And that's why, because it was amazing. It was a monumental thing. We were in Biloxi. He was starring in a show called The Great One, a tribute to Jackie Gleason. He was Jackie Gleason. Yes, you can find him on YouTube. If you search under Big John, Bruce Big John Mickelson, and it's M as in Michael, I-C-K-E-L like lion, S as in Sam, O-N like Nancy, Mickelson, not Jack Nicholson, Mickelson, M like Michael, I-C-K-E-L-S-O-N. If you look under Bruce Big John Mickelson, you'll find several videos that I uploaded on YouTube. Yes. So anyway, we were there and he had ordered some lox for breakfast. They brought him a plate of lox and it looked old. The edges looked curled up on some of the strips of lox and it was disgusting. And I said, no, send it back. And he did. And I was amazed. I was so grateful because I knew if he ate that, he'd get sick. Even though, you know, it's preserved. Still, you don't want to eat bad fish. And it just, I've never forgotten it. That would have been in the year let's see. It was either 1999 or 2000 because I was there over the holiday season. I had had the tummy tuck in 99 and I went, I don't remember if it was October or November. I was there for Thanksgiving. Okay, let's just say November of 99 through the new year. So I spent the millennium there with Bruce. And we lived in the hotel because, of course, he was starring in the show there. So, oh, I have so many fond memories of that time. Anyway, I was so proud of him for sending that back. But he just would never complain. He would never return something if he bought something and he didn't like it or it didn't work. He would never complain. And as far as his health, he would never admit ever any pain or any trouble. Like, he would tell his doctors everything was fine. And he didn't like it when I would go with him to the doctors because he knew that I would tell the truth. I would say, no, he's had trouble breathing or whatever the issue was. And he'd get really angry at me. One time, I totally fucked with him. I told the doctor, while Bruce was sitting there, I said, now he's mad at me because I told you this. And the doctor said to him, why are you mad? Because he could tell that Bruce was kind of stiffened up a little bit and wasn't happy with me. And I said, yeah, now he's really mad at me because I told you the truth. Because Bruce was telling him everything was fine. And I was like, no, I don't remember what the issue was. But I said, no, it's not fine. Maybe he was having trouble breathing, which is common among people who have congestive heart failure. You know, your lungs fill with fluid and you can't breathe. Anyway, the doctor said, well, why are you upset? I need to know this so I can help you, whatever. And I would joke with my sister-in-law. She was married to Bruce's eldest brother, Jack. who just recently passed away. In fact, today's their anniversary. And I told her on the phone, I'm like, I'm not going to say happy anniversary. And she said, yeah, no, it's not a happy day. Well, obviously it's not. My anniversary was on the 1st of June. So, of course I know it's not a happy day at all. It's horrifying. She said, God, that man will do anything to get out of having to buy me flowers for my anniversary. Yeah. Yeah, mine too. Anyway, I was talking to her and we would laugh even like when Jack was in the hospital and I would be talking to her about what was happening, what was going on with him. He had a lot of the same health concerns that Bruce had, but I had already been through it with Bruce, so I knew what to expect. And so I would talk to my sister-in-law and I would tell her. And then I would say, is he in any pain? And she'd say, well, how would I know that? And so that's kind of our joke now. Well, how would I know? How would I have any way of knowing that? Because the Mickelson men never, ever would tell. At least our Mickelson men. There was one more named Bob. And he's the middle brother. He's the father of the nieces and the nephew. But he's the only one that had children. Jack's wife, my sister-in-law, had children before her marriage to Jack. And then they adopted a child who is now an adult. I don't know all the details. But anyway. So when I was talking to, I call her my niece by marriage. She's my niece-in-law. That just sounds weird. My niece. She sounded very strange. So I tried to call her sister. And I tried to call my sister-in-law. Because they're both across the country, obviously. Her sister lives right next door. My sister-in-law is very close. She's only like one state over, but she's there a lot. She knows them very well. I know that sounds weird. But I couldn't get a hold of her either. But I just texted her and said, I'm really worried. I don't know what to do. Anyway, going back to the Mickelsons, right? The Mickelsons are very private, very private. They don't like drama. They don't cause drama. They don't participate. They just don't. They're not like that at all. They're very stoic, very stoic. I mean, seriously, in the dictionary, if you look up the word stoic, you're going to see pictures of the Mickelsons because they're very stoic. They're very strong. They do not complain. They don't complain. They don't admit to pain. It's not that they think that they're tough. It's that they are tough and they get things done. They get on with it. And my sister-in-law told me that that's how my mother-in-law was. I never met her. I didn't ever even talk to her on the phone. She developed dementia. She had something else. But Bruce, I wouldn't say he was estranged from his family. But he did not keep in touch. None of them really do. I mean, I think that the nieces and the nephew keep in touch with each other because they're siblings. But the brothers didn't really at all. I mean, the nieces and the nephew, their dad, Bob. Bob was the unifying force amongst the family, amongst the brothers. Bob would call and try to reach Bruce. Bruce would never respond. I would respond. I would text back and say, hi, Bruce is okay, everything's fine, this is where we're at, blah, blah, blah. And even, you know, Bruce's eldest brother, Jack, didn't keep in touch with Bruce, and Bruce didn't keep in touch with anybody. But Bob would reach out. So anyway, that's just how they are. It's not an anger thing. It's not an avoidance thing. It's just the way they are. They're not mushy. They're not overly sentimental or emotional. They're not at all. That doesn't mean they don't feel things, because of course they do. Bruce was a very tender, very kind person. But he wasn't mushy. You know, he just got on with it. And, you know, he was a comedian, so that's kind of an interesting juxtaposition, I guess, of being very strong, but also being emotional. And when you see him, if you look at any of his videos, you'll see several different acts. He had one that he used to do. I don't have any of his very early material. But I have one from 1992 where he did this Japanese bit. And then I have the Gleason stuff that's on there. His producer also uploaded some stuff, so you'll see it. Hold on, I have to put the phone down because I have to adjust my hand. my left hand, which is paralyzed. Then you'll see the Big John character, which is a big cowboy. He's just this boisterous cowboy that comes out on stage and does this whole barbecue routine. That's Bruce. So it's interesting that he was so rough and tumble on stage, but that's really not who he was. I think most comedians are that way. You know, you think they're very funny and they just keep you laughing all day. Most of them, in my experience, are not like that at all. Most of them are pretty caustic and just kind of bitter. You know, anyway, okay, enough of that. But the Mickelsons do not let on when they have a problem. They don't. They just don't complain. They don't even mention it. But I knew something was wrong. I knew it, and I'm a fucking failure. And I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I will never forgive myself. I knew something was wrong, but, you know, because I don't know her that well, and because I do know she's a Mickelson, and I know that, well, there was another incident, which I will not go into detail about, where she was near death in the hospital and didn't tell anybody. Her sister found out somehow. And then my sister-in-law told me that either she or her sister told my sister-in-law about it at Bruce's memorial, because they all came to Vegas for that. That she was near death in the hospital for about 4 days before anybody knew. And I think maybe it's because her sister couldn't get a hold of her. Her sister found out and then found out where she was. I don't remember if that's how she found out, but that's what they do. They do not tell people stuff. So you could be laying there dying. In fact, when Bruce was in the hospital numerous times, he would not allow me to get in touch with his family. The last time when he was on life support, I made the decision to go ahead and give his niece a call because he was always very close to her. Yeah, he was always very close to her. And I thought, you know what? I need to let her know what's happening. I didn't think at that point that he was going to die. I mean, he had died twice. That's another podcast. Anyway, so, and then when he came back to life, he told me he was not angry and that it was the right decision for me to make. I also called his producer and one of his comedian friends. Bruce didn't have a lot of friends. He was very private, kept to himself. Okay, anyway, let's move forward. So anyway, so that's what I mean. I knew she's very private. She keeps her business to herself, even from her family who she's close to. And I thought, you know, I'm just the wife of her uncle, who is no longer alive, and she doesn't really know me, and I don't really know her. And if I raise this alarm that something's wrong, it's going to look like I'm being very dramatic and trying to stir up some shit. Well, you know what? Stir away, motherfucker. I should have stirred up the shit. I texted her sister today and said, you know, I didn't want to be a drama queen, but I said, next time I'm going to go full crown and scepter. Next time I will go full crown and scepter. Here's why. Okay, so let me go back and bring it forward. So I decided to check the tracking number again today because I got a phone call from the post office yesterday saying either somebody's going to come pick this up or we're going to send it back to you, motherfucker. Love the post office. Yeah, so I texted the niece and I just said, hey, I hope you're well. Obviously, I knew she wasn't. I mean, I didn't know anything. Look, she may be a meth user. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. But you know what I know, I've told you. So you can understand what a perfect storm this was. So I just said, here's the phone number. I said, the post office called me yesterday and told me they're going to send this back to me. So please let me know what I can do to help. Here's the phone number for the post office. Here's the tracking number. And I got a text back saying, okay, I will call. Now, I'm kind of confused about that, and I'll tell you why right the fuck now. So I went on with my day. I thought, okay, that's good. No matter what, you know, I had put my sister-in-law's address as the return address because I figured if something happened and it didn't get to the niece, it would at least get to my sister-in-law. And I was fine with that, because she also had Jack cremated. So all three brothers have been cremated, and their ashes will be buried, distributed together. I'm sorry, now I've got hiccups. Fuck. Anyway. So I don't know where that text came from. I need to let the other niece know. But I went on with my day. I don't know what I've been doing all day. Nothing really. And then I got a text from her sister saying the niece, I'm not going to say her name, had an ischemic stroke. Oh my God. On Friday. And that she's okay now. She's okay. That it did not affect her motor skills, thank God. But speech is hard, and right words, hard for her to find the right words. Now, that is called aphasia. I don't know if they've diagnosed her with that, but I'm pretty sure they have. Her sister was texting, was driving and trying to get the information to me. But she said the package has been picked up, and I feel like such a fucking shitheel now for even worrying about that. Here's why I suck. I knew it was a fucking stroke. I knew it. I knew it was a stroke, and I did not call 911 because I didn't want to stir up any drama. I should have, because she didn't get help until the following day. Now, I have been berating myself mercilessly over that. However, I had a brainstorm, pardon the pun, and I realized, you know what? Even if I had called 911, I could not prevent the stroke. She was already having it, but I could have minimized the damage if I would have called. But, you know, my thinking at the time was, she is calling me, so she knows how to use the phone. If she feels like she needs help, she'll call. That is so fucking stupid. Because of what I just got through telling you, I know the Mickelsons will not ask for help. They won't. They'll deny it. So now I'm thinking somebody else, maybe her sister, went over to check on her and realized something the fuck is wrong. I don't know. I did not ask her. I will. I'm sure we'll be in communication. But I'm trying to be kinder to myself about it, realizing I could not have prevented the stroke. The stroke was already happening. But I could have minimized the damage maybe if I had called 911. Bottom line, she's home now. She's not in the hospital. She was not in the ICU, her sister told me. Because I texted and said, yeah, they had me in the ICU for 2 days, 2 or 3 days. Then in the regular medical ward, you know, for about a week, only because they couldn't release me home by myself because I was paralyzed. She is not paralyzed. And I asked, how's her vision? Can she swallow? Yes, she can swallow. She has her vision. Vision is good. Thank God, you guys. Oh, my God. I did ask what part of her brain it was. Didn't get an answer. I don't know if it was a huge stroke or not. But I told her, please reach out to me if you need anything. I'm kind of an expert now. And I sent a link to my doctor's audiobook on Audible. It's called Thriving After Your Stroke by Dr. Stephen Edgley. Now, Dr. Edgley did have aphasia. He had a massive stroke 22 years ago. And he talks about it in this book. When I was at the Craig H. Nielsen Hospital as an inpatient here at the University of Utah, he brought me a copy of the book and I asked him to sign it for me and he did. But reading tires me out. I can read, of course. So I got the audiobook and listened to it. And I think it would be helpful for my niece's family and for her. I don't know how much of it she'll be able to grasp, though, because with aphasia and with the whatever stroke that she had, it sounds like she may not be able to put the words together. That's part of what happens with aphasia. You guys may have heard Bruce Willis has aphasia. His was not caused by a stroke, as far as I know. I read about it a little bit online a couple months ago. He just noticed that he was having trouble with his lines. I guess he can't act anymore, obviously. So, anyway, Dr. Edgley talks about aphasia. I did not have that. I never lost any of my cognitive abilities. I never lost any ability to communicate. Whoops, my remote control for my bed just fell onto the floor. Hang on, I'm going to reach down and grab it, so I have to set the phone down. But I can still talk. I hope it's not too scratchy sounding. Let me see if I can reach this. There we go. Okay. Anyway, so hopefully they'll listen to the book and it'll help them. And if you know anybody that's had a brain injury, really of any kind, or a spinal cord injury, anybody that's dealt with any kind of profound injury like that, Dr. Edgley's book will probably help you. I mean, obviously written from a stroke survivor's perspective, because he is a stroke survivor. He's wonderful. He testified in the Gwyneth Paltrow trial recently. So you guys can find him. You can Google him, or you can actually look on YouTube, Dr. Stephen Edgley, and it's S-T-E-V-E-N, Edgley, E-D-G-L-E-Y. And I just typed in Dr. Stephen Edgley Gwyneth Paltrow trial, and there are several videos. You can see him and you can hear him speak. Now, when he speaks, you can tell something is different. You can tell that something definitely happened to this man. You can tell. But to go from not being able to speak at all to speaking as well as he does now. And he's very funny, not on the stand, but in person, he's just very charming, very funny. He's a very kind, compassionate person, wonderful doctor, and I'm very grateful to him. But anyway, let me leave you with this. I'm going to end this podcast now because I'm super tired. Let me leave you with this, okay? Don't be a fucking failure, okay? If you think somebody's having a stroke and you know what the signs are, call fucking 911. Let them be pissed off at you. I don't care. Let them be pissed off at you, because here's the truth. Okay, strokes kill people, okay? Her stroke did not kill her. Mine didn't kill me, obviously. Dr. Edgley's didn't kill his. Dr. Edgley's did not kill him. But strokes do kill people. You know, I think it really depends on the part of your brain. Because obviously your brain controls all the shit in your body. And if it hits a place that controls your heart and your respiratory system, it could kill you right then. So, I'm not exaggerating. Look it up. Yeah. So check it out. If you think someone's having a stroke, there's an anagram. What is it? FAST. F is for face, I think. If somebody's face is drooping. What's A for arm? Arm. Usually you'll have weakness in the arm. That's how I knew. That was my first indication that I was having a stroke. I didn't have any pain. I didn't feel like sudden jolt of lightning in my brain. No, nothing. Or sudden bolt of lightning. I didn't have any pain. I tossed the remote control from my right hand to my left because I wanted to put it on my bedstand, which was on the left side, and my hand wouldn't catch it. My hand didn't try to catch it. So then I thought, what the fuck? So I picked it up and tried to put it in my hand, and my hand wouldn't take it. And I kept trying to put the remote in my hand, and it wouldn't take it. And so then I said out loud, what in the hell is happening to my body? And I sounded drunk, and I knew, oh my God, something is wrong. So I called 911. Let me tell you something. My speech was so slurred, and I've never been drunk, but I sounded like a drunk person. It was terrible. It's a miracle that the dispatcher was able to understand me, because I didn't know what was happening. It didn't occur to me that I was having a stroke. I knew nothing about strokes. But sure as hell, that's what it was. So, okay, what they do when the paramedics arrive, they will ask you to stick out your tongue. They'll ask you to smile. They make you follow their finger, you know, to see if your eyes, they look at your pupils. Are they dilated? Are they reactive? Are they the same size? Can you smile? Is there symmetry in your face? Mine? Yes, there is symmetry in my face. I do not have any facial drooping at all. But my speech was very slurred. And of course, I couldn't move my arm or my leg. I tried to move my leg and I couldn't tell if I was moving it. I was sitting in a lazy boy chair. I couldn't tell if I was moving my left leg. I just knew that my arm didn't work. And then hearing myself, I knew, oh my God, something's wrong. Yeah. So I don't even know what I said to 911. I think I just said, I need some help. I don't know. I was very slurred. I don't remember. I don't think I said I'm having a stroke, because I didn't know that. I didn't know. I wasn't even thinking of a stroke. They told me at the hospital, and I was kind of shocked. I'm like, what? I'm not 85 years old. What the hell? Strokes happen to people of all ages. My doctor was 20 years old, or 22 or something. He was very young. Maybe he was 28. I can't remember. But he was young, Very, very young. I had a stroke. Yeah, people. Yeah. So, what is S? S is speech. So you've got F, face, A, arm. S, speech. T is what? Time. I can't remember. Yeah, I think that's what it is, time. So if you notice any of those symptoms, time is of the essence, because literally, time is brain death. The longer you wait till you get help, the more brain tissue you're losing. Your brain is dying. As the oxygen isn't getting to it, it's dying. And it doesn't grow back. Your brain does not heal. It does not heal. It's like if you lose your limb or something, it's not going to grow back. It's not like your flesh heals and different things heal. Bones heal. Muscle heals. Ligaments, it turns out, do not actually heal. Well, they don't heal completely, apparently. That's another topic. Anyway, FAST. Remember that for stroke, okay? And May was Stroke Awareness Month, and I didn't even pay attention because I figured, oh, I'm a fucking stroke authority at this point. I've survived mine by, what, 2.5 years at this point. And I'm fucking sick of it. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. So now my niece has joined the ranks of stroke survivor. You guys, don't be a failure, okay? Don't be a fucking miserable failure. If you suspect a stroke, read up about it, please, so you know. Even if the person has done meth, or even if they're on benzos or something, what are the paramedics going to do? Nothing. They're going to assess them and leave them the fuck alone. They're not going to call and get them arrested. They're just there to help save their life or whatever. And I was so stupid, and I'm so sorry. She's okay now, but she's really not. I don't know how bad it is. Her sister told me the prognosis is really good. And I think, yeah, she was communicating with me during the stroke. That doesn't mean anything. I was fully paralyzed and I was still communicating just fine. Doesn't matter. You don't want damage, okay? And you know what? As time goes by, we'll find out more. But as of right now, that's the news. So I'm very emotional. My heart's in my throat. And I feel like a miserable fucking failure. I should have called 911. I should have. Okay, so look. Don't be a hero. Don't be proud. Don't not butt in. Okay, that's a double negative. I'm sorry. But I'm just trying to say, look, even if you know the person's going to be pissed off at you, fucking do it anyway. Because let them be pissed off at you, but don't let them be paralyzed or damaged. Get the fucking paramedics there. See, here's the thing. Hers was an ischemic stroke, as was mine. There's something. Oh, I remember now what it was. I had forgotten. But I thought you had to get TPA within half an hour. It turns out it's within 3 hours. TPA is a clot-busting medication. T like Thomas, P like, I don't know, Pennsylvania. A like apple. TPA. And there's a big, it's a big, long combination of three words. I don't know what it means, but it's a clot-busting medication. They cannot give it to you after 3 hours because then the risk is too great. They would never give it to somebody with a hemorrhagic stroke because it causes bleeding. It's a clot buster, so obviously it's super blood thinner or something. They told me, they asked me if I wanted it. They said in 20% of patients, it will spontaneously reverse the stroke symptoms. And, you know, I'm laying there paralyzed, so I'm like, good, give it to me. But they said only in 20% of people. And so that means in 80% of people, you know, the results are usually not seen for like 6 months. The patients do much better recovering or trying to rehabilitate, whatever. Well, I'm one of the 6 month people, okay? Because mine didn't reverse shit. Nothing. So it was very disappointing. So anyway, she didn't get to the hospital within 3 hours of the onset. So they couldn't give it to her. So they maybe would have been able to do it if I would have called right then. I know her address. I have it memorized. I had to write it so many times at the post office. I don't even have her zip code memorized, but I could easily look it up. It's in my contacts on my phone. I should have fucking called 911. How would I call 911 from here? For a state. Let's just pretend it's New York. It's not, but let's just pretend it is. How would I call New York 911? I don't know, I could have Googled the police department and said, look, get 911 over there, please. I should have done more, and I didn't. And her sister said to me, it's not your fault. She needs to tell the truth instead of telling us what she thinks we want to hear. That's just how they are. And I knew that, and so I should have realized, look, she is not going to ask for help. But she's a grown woman, and I thought of myself, you know, I'd be very fucking pissed off. Like, what if I was just a little high? I don't get high. I don't use drugs. But what if I did? I don't know if she does. I don't know. What if I did and I just was a little bit high when somebody was pestering me about receiving some package and I'm responding the best I can? And when she's saying, I'm going to be okay, I will be okay, I'm thinking, okay, she's probably just high and she knows that she's going to come down off of it and she'll be fine. So I need to just fuck the fuck right off, you know. That's what I was thinking. Okay, maybe I do need to fuck the fuck right off. But I should have fucked off after I called 911. Anyway, okay, there's the podcast for today, okay? So look, please, please, even if you think the person's going to be angry, if you think somebody's having a stroke and you're not just, you know, crying wolf, like look it up, please look it up so that you know for yourself and for anybody you love, so that you can be aware, because a lot of people don't know much about strokes. I knew nothing about them until I fucking had one. Okay, so please, please look into it and be aware. If somebody's speech is slurred, if they have weakness or numbness or something in their arm, if their face droops, if their speech is slurred, get a fucking ambulance or get that person to the hospital immediately. It's critical, please. Okay, and remember to be kind, okay? Kindness is saving somebody's life, saving somebody's mobility, eyesight, speech, whatever. Okay, so just be careful. All right, that's all for now. Okay, bye.